おられるんだ。Parshat Bashalach, Baruch Maboyim, everybody. We'd like to discuss a little bit tonight what could really be considered the central theme of this week's parasha, which is, of course, Kriyat Yam Suf. The Torah describes Klal Yisrael having already left Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden the instruction arrives, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, tell Klal Yisrael b'yoshuvu, they should go back. V'yachanu l'fnei pi hachiret bein migdol or bein hayom, etc., etc. So very strangely, they're on their way out of Mitzrayim, have left a number of days ago, and suddenly they're told to go back. Another meeting with the Mitzrayim. This, of course, causes much confusion amongst the Mitzrayim. V'omar Paroi, and Paroi says, of Bnei Yisrael, Nevuchimei. It would seem to be that Klal Yisrael are completely lost. They don't know whether they are coming or going. They've left Mitzrayim, now they seem to be on their way back. And that then, of course, precipitated the whole nace of Kriyat Yam Suf. So why indeed were they told to go back? So Rashi says, specifically for the purpose of Kedei Lahatos Et Paroi, in order to confuse Paroi. Paroi clearly thinks they're lost. They seem to have lost direction. They've left Mitzrayim. Now they're on their way back to Mitzrayim. So the purpose was to confuse Paroi, and that purpose was indeed fulfilled. With the obvious question being, again, if we just request everybody please be muted. With the obvious question being, we do need to understand what was the purpose of the nace of Kriyat Yam Suf? A very fundamental question. Meaning, simply understood, we would perhaps think that the necessity for the nace of Kriyat Yam Suf was because Paroi was pursuing Klal Yisrael, therefore they needed a further nace to be rescued from Mitzrayim. But that's not true. As we've just explained, they were never in any danger other than the fact that they were instructed to go back and place themselves in danger. So it seems to be that Kriyat Yam Suf is not technically a nace which was necessary because of a necessity to solve danger. The danger was, as it were, artificially created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they followed the instruction, and therefore the question must be asked, they had already been rescued from Mitzrayim. There had already been miracles, there had been the Esther Makreis, there was Makreis Bechoreis, there was the Geula of Mitzrayim. What was the second part of this sequel all about? What was the necessity for another meeting with Mitzrayim, and yet again, another Geula, as it were, two Geulas? And indeed we see, for example, on Pesach, we very much celebrate two halves of the Geula separately. We initially have the first day of Pesach, where we do not really make mention of Kriyat Yam Suf. It's all about the Makreis and the Shibud and the Geula from Mitzrayim. And then a week later, we celebrate Kriyat Yam Suf, just as Kriyat Yam Suf was indeed, chronologically, a week after the initial nace. So you see that the whole Yom Tov of Pesach very much mirrors what is recorded in the Torah, that there seemed to have been, as it were, a double Geula. An initial Geula from Mitzrayim when they first left, and then a second salvation upon this meeting with Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yam Suf. And that's what we need to try and explore a little bit. What was this double Geula all about? What did the second Geula add to the first, that something clearly was missing, and this is what the second Geula added? Another fascinating question that can be asked, as we all know, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara and Sefer, that Klal Yisrael did not initially enter the Yam willingly, rather Nachshon ben Aminadav, he was the one who went in, and Klal Yisrael then followed suit. So clearly they were a little bit concerned to enter the Yam Suf, but they did eventually, they needed this assistance. Once Nachshon ben Aminadav did, everybody else followed. So a fascinating question can be asked, and that is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not be that first one to jump in the Yam Suf? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael. All of Geulas Mitzrayim happened through his leadership. So why is it, when it comes to Kriyas Yam Suf, Moshe Rabbeinu is, as it were, missing from the story? And it needed somebody else, specifically Nachshon ben Aminadav, all of a sudden, to lead the way. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu? These are the two questions that we would like to explore a little bit. Number one, what was the whole purpose, the necessity for this second Geula at the time of Kriyas Yam Suf? And specifically, where was Moshe Rabbeinu in all of this story? Why did he not enter the Yam? Why did it need somebody else, namely Nachshon ben Aminadav? So I'd like to share with you a Shlo HaKadosh. I heard of this Shlo almost a year ago from the Mashkiach in Gateshead of Gershon Miller Shlita, and he made mention of this Shlo HaKadosh. And this Shlo really opened up our eyes to what was happening at Kriyas Yam Suf specifically, and as we'll soon see, Mitzvah Hashem, a general fundamental point in all of our Avodas Hashem. The Shlo picks up on the wording of the Pasuk, which we say every single day of our lives. It's so key that we understand what we're saying. In the Shira, when they sang the Shira following the Kriyas Yam Suf, they said, Zeh keili v'amveyu, Elokei ovi v'aroi memenu. How do we translate? Zeh keili, this is my God, in the singular. This is my God, Zeh keili v'amveyu, Elokei ovi, and the God of my father, v'aroi memenu, and I will exalt him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is referred to, double reference. Keli means my own personal God. It does not say Elokeinu, it says Zeh Keli. Second time round it says Elokei Ovi. This is the God of my father. Why the difference? Why the difference? So the Shlo HaKadosh says a fundamental yesod. Our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is first and foremost based on what we call Mesoiras, the chain that has been handed down, legacy from generation to generation. This is what my father was doing, and this is what his father was doing, and this is what his father before him was doing. Midoir Ledoir, Elokei Ovi, Mesoiras. As we read in last week's parasha, the purpose of the Makriv Leman Tesafeh Ba'oznei Bincha, Uben Bincha, this is our mission, to transmit from generation to generation our heritage. And in that vein, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, can be described as Elokei Ovi, the God of my father, meaning the relationship that I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forged by the heritage transmitted to me by my father, from his father, all the way back to the beginning of Klal Yisrael's story. However, it does not end there. There is a second and more personal aspect of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is, having forged that initial relationship of Elokei of me, now comes the Keli. This is my own personal God. I am not merely following the footsteps of my ancestors, although clearly everything I do is based on that, but ultimately my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just that, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not merely mimicking, copying the relationship that I received, transmitted to me from previous generations, rather it is their Keli, my own personal God. My own personal God. The Shlo words this as follows. That strange word that we mentioned, the Keli, the Anvehu. What does that mean, the Anvehu? Anvehu, which is a very peculiar sounding word, Chazal explained the way that you have to read and understand the word Anvehu is Ani Vu. It's me and him. There is nobody outside of our relationship. As far as I'm concerned, it's Ani Vuhu. I have my own private, personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course goes perfectly with their Keli. I would not be able to say Elokei Ovi V'Anvehu. But when I say Zer Keli, it's my own personal kesher that I have with Rabbeinu Shalom, then the obvious follow-up is V'Anvehu, it is Ani V'Hu, just me and him. The Shlo HaKadosh is teaching us a tremendous yesod. What happened at Kriyas Yam Suf that didn't happen initially? We asked from the outset, why the double Gula? Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim as a nation. They were formed into a nation. This is the birth of Klal Yisrael as a nation. They were taken out indeed as a nation. It was only when it got to the Yom Suf that not only did Klal Israel have a general and national relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather they then arrived at a more deep-rooted relationship of Zer Keli. Finally, as Chazal tell us, every individual was literally able to point to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We obviously have no hasaga of what this means, but Chazal famously teach us that even the lowly maidservant, the Shivchoshe Bayam, what she was able to perceive was on a higher madrega than even some of the later Nevi'im. Chazal tell us that even the young babies, Afinu Oilemin V'yoin Keshadayim, young children, were able to point with a finger and say, Zer Keli. The emphasis being, on the one hand, the word there, this, which you can only say if you're pointing to something real, and also Keli. This is what happens at Kriyas Yam Suf. We ask, why is the double Geula? This is the answer in the opinion of the Shlom. The Geula, part one, was the formation of Klal Yisrael and the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of Klal Yisrael, Nidoyer Nidoyer, Elokei Ovi. Part two was Kriyas Yam Suf, where every individual was able to perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam and then say, Zer Keli, V'Anvehu. Now, of course, we make mention of this in so many places in davening. We say in Avodah also every day, V'Hu Keli, Umonoi Li. Rabban HaMelech in Tehillim says, Keli, Keli, Lomo Ze'atoni. Keli, Ata V'Oideko. in many of our tefillahs we say, Elokai ve'Elokei Avosai, my God and the God of my forefathers. These are the two aspects that we just described, the Kelim and Elokei Avi. And this was the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf. Now listen to a most remarkable Meshachot, which is almost a tautology, because every Meshachot is remarkable. The Pasuk in Parashat B'Shalach says, and this will answer our second question. The Pasuk in B'Shalach says, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Ma titzak elai, do not now cry out to me, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisod, talk to Klal Yisrael, and they shall travel. Chazal say on those words, Moshe, Ein lohem, listen carefully to the words, Ein lohem l'Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has nothing to do, Elo lisa, just go. Just go into the water. Says the Meshe Chochma, a most incredible interpretation. And look how well this fits in with what the Shlach teaches us. Says the Meshe Chochma, until this point, Klal Yisrael had always been following Moshe Rabbeinu literally, like sheep following a shepherd. When it came, however, to Kriyas Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, I want Moshe Rabbeinu to stand at the back. This is the whole purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf. Can they now manage, as it were, on their own? As the Meshech Chochma writes, V'heim of v'emunosom, with their own emunah, without having to lean on Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, but with their own emunah, Yeilchu b'toich hayom, now they should enter the sea. There's the Meshe Chochma in conclusion. B'zachur she'holchu layom, because they entered the sea, or Moshe achareihem, he is medayek from the psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu did not lead, he follows. That's why Nivka Hayom, the sea was split. Then Meshe Chochma's pshat fits in remarkably well with that from the Shlach. The Shlach tells us that the whole purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was now, as it were, for Klal Yisrael to stand on their own, not just follow their lead. There is a relationship called the Elokei Avi, in which my kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on others, whether it's my ancestors or my leaders, in this case Moshe Rabbeinu. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu led the charges when they left Mitzrayim. When they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu's place was firmly at the back of the queue. He had to follow and not lead, because that was the whole purpose of Claudius, of Kriyas Yamsuf. And we therefore understand so well, that's why, that answers our second question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not be the one to go head first into the Yamsuf? The answer is, because that was the opposite of the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf. The whole purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was their keli, not to be following the lead of my father, of my Rebbe. No, Klal Yisrael has to enter first. The boy in this life. We understand, therefore, that what was happening at Kriyas Yamsuf was not merely just a further miracle. After all, as we asked from the beginning, the miracle was not performed out of necessity. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation in which they needed Kriyas Yamsuf. But essentially there was no danger. The answer is, this was the culmination of Geulat Mitzrayim. Geulas Mitzrayim was necessarily a two-stage process, and that is the two halves of Pesach. On the Seder night, we are not celebrating the Zer Keli. We are celebrating the Elekeovi. That's what the Leil HaSeder is all about. Transmission from generation to generation. Father speaks to son. That is the Yisrael of the Leil HaSeder. That is the nation, the Am Yisrael that was born when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. 1 week later, we are celebrating something else completely. It is not just yet another miracle, but rather we are now celebrating the Zer Keli. The Sfas Emes words it so beautifully. We know that Chazal tell us that actually when the sea split, it split into 12 parts. Klal Yisrael did not enter all together, but rather every shevet, every single tribe had their own path through the sea. Says the Sfas Emes to teach us that Klal Yisrael was zeicha to Kriyas Yamsuf, not just on a national basis, but rather kol shevet kedai. Every shevet was worthy in its own right of Kriyas Yamsuf. And then he says, v'loizu bilvav, not just every shevet, kol ish miyisrael. Every individual member of Klal Yisrael, ro'u l'kroya hayam b'shvilei, was worthy of having the seas split for him. The Sfas Emes really, in one line, is encapsulating everything we have said. Every individual member of Klal Yisrael was worthy of Kriyas Yamsuf. This was the new forged relationship of Zer Keli. This is my own personal Ribbono Shel Olam. The Kesha that I have with him is not merely Elokei Avi, but rather Zer Keli. And we understand, therefore, and this is so important because, after all, we say these words every single day in davening. Did you ever notice that when in davening, for example, before Shemoneh Esrei, we talked at great length about Kriyas Yamsuf, do we notice that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to in very loving terminology? It says, for example, when we talk about the Geula of Mitzrayim in general, we say, Mibeis Avodim Tavisanu, Mitzrayim Ga'otanu. But all of a sudden, when it gets to Kriyas Yamsuf, how are Klal Yisrael referred to? Yedidim, Ahuvim. We all of a sudden became Yedidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the word Yedid mean? We translate Yedid to mean a friend. Yedid, the root of the word Yedid is Yad, Yad. You embrace somebody with two hands, it's Yad, Yad. You only embrace somebody you are friendly with. Ahuvim and Yedidim was the new reference, the new relationship that Klal Yisrael forged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when, at Klal Yisrael, they became Ahuvim. It is well known, the word Ahava, love, is in Gematria Echod 13. You become one. You only love those whom you become one with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became one with us, as it were, with every single individual when, not at Kriyas Yamsuf, not at Geulas Mitzrayim, but rather at Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's why tonight in Maariv we say, Hayotze et Amon Yisrael. He took out the nation of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, but Hamavir Bonov ben Gizre Yamsuf. Bonov, which is always a term of endearment. That happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. It could be possible, therefore, to suggest and to add, there is a Maimah Chazal that tells us, this is a Mechilta, This is based on the Pasukim Pashtus Vayeskanan. In Pashtus Vayeskanan, the Torah writes that when we left Mitzrayim, it was termed as Goy Mikarev Goy, a nation from a nation. Klal Yisrael were formed as a nation, being taken out of Mitzrayim, the nation of the Mitzrayim. There's a medrash on those words, Goy Mikarev Goy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a nation from a nation. The Mechilta says, just as a child is removed from the womb. As a child is born, such Klal Yisrael were born. It could very well be that this would mirror the Shlach and the Meshech Chochma, etc. Because just as when a child is initially born, he is totally dependent. He cannot fend for himself. He is completely dependent on his father and mother. The purpose, however, is to nurture that child so that eventually he is able to stand on his own two feet. And that's exactly what happened when we left this tribe. Initially, we were like that young born infant, the Elokei Ovi. The relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on my father because I cannot manage on my own. But as the child develops, a week later, Kriyas Yamsov, now we are not that newborn infant anymore. Now we've developed the relationship of their Keli, my own personal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that there is a mitzvah. In fact, the very last mitzvah in the entire Torah, to write a Sefer Torah. A mitzvah that he writes, a Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Gemara teaches us something very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that even if your father left you a Sefer Torah, nonetheless, it is a mitzvah to write one yourself. Do not rely in fulfilling this mitzvah on the Sefer Torah that you inherited from your father. Rather, write another Sefer Torah. Why? What's wrong with the one I've inherited? Says the Ksav Sefer, precisely the story that we have been discussing tonight. He says, this is in order to show, ki einoi mekayem ha-Torah, the son is not merely fulfilling the Torah mishum minhag avreisov, just because this is what they did, this is what I did. Shehir gigoi soy, I've become habituated to doing so. Elo shemekabel olam haTorah v'amitzvos v'chol liboi mechodesh. This is my own personal Sefer Torah. My connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is of course through the Torah, is not the Sefer Torah that my father gave me. Rather, it is my own personal Sefer Torah. I'm only saying in conclusion, never has this message resonated so loudly and now the period that we find ourselves in. So much of our Avodat Hashem under ordinary circumstances is done as a cloud. Tfilah v'tzibur, we all daven in big minyanim, in shuls, we learn in Beis HaMedrash, we share our Shabbosos and our Yamim Tovim with others, etc., etc. And so much of that has been closed to us in the last year almost. This inyan of Zer Keli has never been more potent than it is now. Suddenly we find ourselves having to daven on occasion at home, b'yechidus. We are learning at home, not in the comfort of a Beis HaMedrash, with a Kol Torah reverberating in our ears. We suddenly celebrate Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos on our own. Shabbosos were our own. We must therefore use this opportunity to develop the Zer Keli. The Zer Keli. In fact, I remember somebody telling me in a very honest moment, he said on one occasion, this was long before Corona, he was unwell on Yom Kippur and could not go to shul and had to daven at home in his bedroom by himself with no one else there. And he told me, if I'm being perfectly honest, I would tell you, I never had such an uplifting Yom Kippur in my life. There was nobody there, just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is their keli v'anvehu, ani v'hu, precisely that. The moshul that perhaps we could best illustrate this with. Imagine you have a very large orchestra, and their purpose is to play a beautiful symphony together, each one in harmony playing their part. And the problem is, when you get to the grand concert, they all seem just to be looking over their shoulders and copying the one sitting next to them. So everyone's doing the same thing. That's not what the people have paid to hear. The conductor sends them all home and says, one second, this needs to be fine-tuned. Everybody go home, practice your own part, perfect it, and then come back, and together we will produce a magnificent symphony. So the conductor has sent us home as well. Lamanaseach, the greatest conductor of all, has sent us home to perfect our own Avodah Hashem, to perfect our Zeh Keli V'Anvehu, to perfect our own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I daven when nobody else is looking at me? How do I learn when nobody else is looking at me? How do I celebrate Shabbos and Yom Tov, Sukkot and Pesach when there's nobody else around? This is the period of Zeh Keli. And this, of course, in conclusion, is most poignant. Is most poignant, perhaps, in the Avodah of Tefillah. A Yisoid we discuss so often, those who are with us in our Tefillah Vadim, that's what it's all about, the Avodah of Tefillah. As a constant reminder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling my personal life. Zeh Keli. Only last Friday night, round our Shabbat table, we were discussing this with our children. The Indian of forging, strengthening our Kesher with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And I told the children, I said, this is best done by simply talking to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu as often as we can. Whether it be in Tefillah, as we know the Mishnah Berurah says, this is not only permissible, but it is recommendable to add your own personal requests. Why is it recommendable? Because basing our tefillah only on the nusach given to us by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that's really Elokei Ovi. But where's the Zeh Keli? That's my own personal bakasha. But this can be done not only in the form of tefillah. When you're in the home, when you're in the street, wherever you are, we can talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So I'm telling my children how important it is to practice this habit. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the street. There is nothing too big or nothing too small that we can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. So one of my daughters says to me, she says, it's never been so easy to do this. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, to talk in the street to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would have thought it was a little bit embarrassing. But we're all wearing masks anyway, so nobody can see. So this is the Avodah. A very beautiful Ha'orah. So we're wearing masks, so we don't even have the excuse it's embarrassing. I don't know why it's embarrassing to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if anybody feels it is, under the mask, nobody can see. Except V'anveihu. Ani v'hu. I can see, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see. And that's what's so important. This is the period, as we mentioned, of Zeh Keli. May it be as Baruch Hu's Rav saying that we are mechazik the Zeh Kelim, so that once again we will be together, reunited in our shuls, our kehillas, our families, so that it will be not only Zeh Kelim v'Amveihu, but also Veleke Ovi v'Aroim v'Menhu. May that be in Heira v'Yomeinu. Amen.